the benediction. There you go. You know what I mean? Check it out. Man, I wish you well, hope that you prosper. Protected from evil, cause hatred still fosters. Protected from flesh, lust is everywhere. I hold to the word, hold on, is my prayer. Careful as you go, expect to be shocked. These egos will grow like we live and we did not do. Whatever they did, place your best and believe that. Chilling with Jezebel, you ain't got to receive that.
Say, ooh, baby, doors in the church is on. Ooh,
if you know you got to believe. If you just listen.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a 512 Friday. Actually, it's a Freak Flag, Feel Good, Fake It Till You Make It, Ric Flair, Woo! 512 Friday edition of the Rodcast. That's when my co-host, the Idealionaire, Patrick Davis, he plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Terrell Shaheed and the Blue Vinyl Crates. They're playing Sunday at Half Step.
I like it. It's nice. It's pretty cool. I like that. Like that groove right there. Appreciate Patrick for the 512 Friday, of course. Also appreciate Patrick coming up with the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day. And this one, I'm sure, will hit Cowboys fans right in the gut. Patrick, what's the topic for the Big Fat Poll of the Day?
Topic is start, bench, cut. Zeke, Deuce Vaughn, Rico Dottle. We asked you on the poll online, which one do you cut? So we can only ask one question. We couldn't make it all work. And right now, Zeke is winning the cut poll at 42%. It's not that. They're pretty close. So 42, 30% for Deuce Vaughn and Rico Dottle at 27%.
Damn. 27. It would cut Rico Dottle?
27%.
I think he's the no-brainer of the bunch.
I think he is. But 27% of people say, I don't even want Rico Dottle on this team. Cut them all.
Well, somebody's got to run the rock.
I think there's some people that like Zeke a lot, and they want to believe in Deuce Vaughn. You don't want to lose a guy you used a draft pick on last year.
Yeah.
And so they don't want to lose him, and they like Zeke, so they're going to say cut Rico because they're Zeke people. And so I think that's my only rational logic I can use to why you cut
Zeke
Rico.
Person, I understand Zeke's value, but I also know Zeke is pretty much done as an effective, ball carrier. Like he's just, that's not what he brings in terms of value. There are other things like situationally, goal line, maybe, hell, even pass blocking. I saw some of his numbers as a pass blocker. They're not great either. So I got to quit saying like, oh, he brings a lot of pass protection.
I think he didn't bring that much
in pass protection.
Yeah. They weren't good at it last year, but also Mac Jones was just not very good at what he was doing in the offensive line.
That could be true.
There was nothing that the Patriots were doing last year that was very good. So.
Yeah, and you know what? I think so. At least I've seen. I'm gonna go with cutting Deuce right now for me, and I'll keep Zeke. And I don't even know why I'm doing that. I'm only doing that because Zeke has as a name, and I've seen him do it. But I know he is no longer. Like I said, I know that he is no longer effective. I have seen the numbers. The numbers do not lie, and the chances of Deuce being just as effective as Zeke are pretty high because, like I said. The numbers for Zeke are all very, very underwhelming. So, you could go with the mystery box. That's what Deuce represents, a mystery box, right? And sometimes the mystery box is just fun. Do you know if the mystery box is going to have something that you really want in it? No, but you know what you have in Zeke, and it's not much. Rico Dottle's the guy, in my opinion, and that's weird to say, too. That can't be, for Cowboys fans, they can't be something that gives you confidence, right? That Rico Dottle is your top running back right now. He's your featured running back. Mm. And like I said, nothing against him, but he's not a difference maker. He's not. So I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. They should do something. They should trade for a running back, or when everybody's done with the cuts at the training camp, they should pick up, but then that's – is that going to add to your running back room, just picking up what other teams don't want?
And that's the thing, scraps from other teams? And that's kind of what this question is leading to is, well, if you pick somebody up, you have to cut one of these guys because you can't carry four okay running backs.
No.
And especially when you're carrying Zeke, he's at the end of the road, and then you don't even know if there's going to be a road for Deuce Vaughn yet, and then – you have Kevontae Turpin. I think if there's no Turpin on the roster, Deuce Vaughn is the spot.
They got him at wide receiver too, kind of sometimes too, in terms of what they list him.
They do, Turpin. But that's the thing is, but I'm saying you can't have Turpin and Vaughn if you're trying to stack up guys.
No,
because they're too similar.
They have kind of similar. Yes, I totally agree. Because they're using they've said they're using Deuce Vaughn, or at least he's practicing at times in the slot. So
yeah.
Yes.
So I think that those two guys are too similar to have both of them on the roster. If you're going to add another running back, and you can't cut Doddle because you've already gone into the season basically saying Doddle's your guy. So now if you cut him, I don't know what the thought is. Someone's going to pick him up too, you assume. Because that's also their point, is which guys can you keep on your practice squad and which guys – and Deuce may be at the point where someone would let him stay on the practice squad and not – and he wouldn't sign somewhere else. You might be able to get him, especially because he does have family on the team in the scouting department. So maybe he would stay there on the practice squad and you could bring somebody else in. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't know exactly who you – I mean, I think it has to be a trade if you want to make a big difference. Because yeah, if you're getting the fourth string guy from somebody else,
that's basically what you got. You already got that. You got that on the roster right now. You would just be bringing in another one. No, go. He said, I still like trading for Dameon Pierce. I don't think that's a bad idea. Because the Texans look like they are at least going a different direction at running back. They drafted one, and they also brought in Joe Mixon. So he's one, but they're like five or six teams. I guarantee you that if I looked over, I'm going to do this too. Monday we'll talk about it. I'm going to look at everybody's running back room, and I guarantee you I find six to seven teams that would trade you a running back for a reasonable price.
Yeah,
reasonable
I might try and call the Bears and see if they want to give up Khalil Herbert at the end of his contract, because they just brought in DeAndre
Rojo
Swift.
There too. Yeah,
they have DeAndre Swift. They have Rojo. So they just signed DeAndre Swift, so maybe say, well, Herbert's coming up on the end. You don't want to pay him. You're clearly not going to pay him. So maybe for a six-round pick or something, you'll give him up. Yeah. I look at something like that where you say, here's a guy that we'll put him on the one-year deal too. We'll get a guy in the last year of his contract.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody on your damn team is on a one-year deal, so you ain't mad. You ain't afraid of that.
So, but give us him, because you're not going to re-sign him. He's not your starter. Let him come in for us, and then and we'll have somebody else. I would do that if I was a Cowboys, but that's why the question's there. Start bench cut. If you want to chime in on the text line, 512-447-3776. If you want to throw in the entire start bench cut, you can throw it in there.
All right, yeah. For me, I'm going to start Rico. I'm going to bench Zeke. I'm cutting Deuce right now. I don't feel good about it.
You don't feel good about the cut or the start?
I feel good about the start. I feel good about the start. I don't feel good about the cut, because I think that could go either way. Because like the mystery box, Deuce goes somewhere and then blows up in the right system. I go, damn it, all because we want to keep an old, aging Zeke.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
Because of what he used to be. It's like and usually I try to be more progressive than that. The mystery box may be the way. Analytically, I bet they just go mystery box. Because even if the mystery box doesn't hit, it is what Zeke going to give you. That much better. The difference is probably negligible. It's probably it's probably nothing. So take the mystery box, because if you hit on the mystery box, then that could change the whole dynamic of the backfield.
Jerry likes to sell that hope.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I don't think, I'm not going to disagree with somebody who picks, cutting Zeke like you did. I think that actually may be the right move. I don't feel good about cutting Deuce Vaughn, but right now, I'm going to go with what I know. And I don't even know that much about Rico, but I know Rico is going to be better than Zeke. Because
he's
got
to be.
Oh, man, if he's not, like I said, that running game is going to be bad. That's why I'm picking. I think Dak's got a chance to, and C's got a chance to lead the NFL in receiving yards, and Dak's got a chance to finish as a top three quarterback in passing yards, because they're going
to
throw it a lot, guys.
You got to.
They're going to throw it a lot. Don't throw it a lot. All right, good stuff there. All right, let's get into the Horn headlines. Then we'll discuss the latest player ratings that we have. We now know who the highest rated player on defense is in the new EA Sports college football video game. We also know Arch Manning's rating. Before we dive into that, let's get educated. Let's get informed. Let's get updated on all the top stories of the day with Patrick Davis and the Horn headlines.
All right, the Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. In the MLB, the Astros got the win over the Marlins 6-3 yesterday and swept their series 3-0. Jake Blas pitched four innings in his second career start, allowing two runs while striking out four. The bullpen got it done the rest of the way, striking out seven more and getting the Astros record up to 49-44. Yordan Alvarez missed the game after leaving Wednesday's game with right hip tightness, but in good news, Kyle Tucker was involved in pregame activities for the first time since his shin injury in June 3rd. The Rangers and Astros will begin their weekend series today, renewing the rivalry in Houston while Arlington gets ready for All-Star Weekend. Albert Haney will take the mound for the Rangers with a 3-9 record, and Hunter Brown gets to start for the Astros after getting his record up to 6-6 on the season with a streak of quality starts. The Rangers can make some headway in the AL West division race as they are only five games behind the Astros and cut that down with a series victory this weekend. That is your Horn Headlines.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Grass is growing and yards need mowing. We got deep discounts on Gravely, Toro, Hustler, and Steel zero-turn mowers this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. Let's get to these EA Sports player ratings for the new college football video game, College Football 2025. So we already know about Quinn Ewers and Kelvin Banks, both of those guys, top 30 players. Quinn Ewers is number 27, Kelvin Banks number 13 in the game, 92 overall for Quinn. But here's some more individual player ratings. So let's start on offense. It was revealed that Texas Isaiah Bond has an 88 overall rating at wide receiver. Silas Bolden, 86, along with Matthew Golden at 86. Six of your wide receivers have a speed score of 92 out of 100 or higher. So 92 or higher out of 100. So that's a lot of speed. We all know Sark is obsessed with speed. So a lot of speed there. And I imagine those six are Cook, Bond, Golden, Bolden. The last two, I'm not sure. It could be Ryan Wingo thrown in there, DeAndre Moore, or they could have went with one of the other guys, Niblet, somebody I'm not thinking about on that roster, that a young guy that's got some speed. But, I mean, that's a lot of guys. I would love to compare that to other schools around the country and see how many guys have receivers with that many high speed scores.
Yeah, maybe I would say maybe Oregon.
Oregon's probably in there.
Oregon could be in there. Ohio State, I don't know if they have the speed, but they got wide receivers at Ohio State.
Yeah, they always do. So Silas Bolden and Matthew Golden, though, 86. That's pretty high for them. C.J. Baxter, actually, he has an 87. So they're really high on C.J. Baxter.
I mean, how are you not going to rank Texas running back room well after the last few years?
Yeah. No, Jaden Blue. I wonder what Jaden Blue score is, and I wonder what Jaden Blue's speed score is. Because Jaden Blue last year registered the fastest time in the country for a running back, like as a ball carrier on the field. So I wonder what they made his speed, because now they actually have documented proof that he's the fastest running back in the country. Will they actually put that in the game?
You want to put him in the pistol?
Nice. Well done. Like that. Hell yeah. You damn right about that. I've heard that he's also gained some weight. I mean, C.J. Vogel was talking about that over at Owen Texas Football, that he's gained some weight so he can be better at the interior runs.
Because
the interior runs, sometimes, you know, not arm tackle, but, you know, you got big D linemen reaching out for you. They may get one arm around you. A linebacker may be able to get a piece of you, but you want to be strong enough where you can break through that and still be able to get positive yards.
You don't want to be a situational back.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and that's – I'm not going to say he was that, but he was trending that way.
Well, and
he's a guy that
he's a situational back for Texas because they had a plethora of running backs. So you could use him in that sense, but as for him, he wants to be able to show at the next level he could be in every down back.
Yeah, because, you know, Keelan Robinson was just so small that he was a boutique back for you. And I remember they tried – oh, man, remember the – was that the Alamo Bowl against Washington?
He ran all the time.
They tried to turn him into a bell cow, like a marquee featured running back. And it's like, he's not a main course running back. He's a side dish. He's the mashed potatoes and gravy and the mac and cheese, man. He can't be the pork chops and the fried chicken. He can't be no. That's what Sark tried to make him, and it just didn't work out. But that, you're saying, that's what Jaden Blue's trying to prove, that, hell no, I can be the main course running back.
Yep.
And I think you're right about that. And I think Sark's going to give him the chance to do that, too. Sark really likes Jaden Blue.
Well, you have to. I mean, as good as C.J. Baxter is, we know he's had trouble staying on the field and not even missing games so much as just coming up and having to come out for two or three plays. And so if we know that that is something that he's had issues with, hopefully he'll – and, I mean, part of that is he was a freshman. So part of that is, you know, I think he'll get better at that as well. But if you're Jaden Blue and you get those opportunities, you want to make it so that when you get on the field, it makes it harder and harder every time they put you out there to take you back off.
Yep. And, yeah, I think for C.J. Baxter last year, he had that freshman body.
Yeah.
Coming out of high school, right? So it's just getting that armor on, getting in the weight room, building up the muscle mass, and then being able to take that punishment. Because you're right, he would just – honestly, he wasn't he wasn't injured as so much as he just got hurt, and it was more like pain tolerance. There's a different level of pain you have to deal with as a running back when you're getting hit all the time. Yeah, at the high school level, you're like, okay, I get hit, but you know what?
I'm running away from most of these dudes.
I'm delivering the blow on these dudes, and I'm good enough to shake them, so they don't get a clean hit on me anyway. In college, hey, man, at first, I've talked to guys, guys like Rojo and some running backs in the league, you know, when that first hit that welcomed you into the league, like, oh, this is different.
Well, and Rojo.
And they all have that moment where it's like, oh, this is different. This is a different level of physicality. This is a different level of brutality. I can't. Okay, I gotta conduct myself a little different here, or I gotta build up more muscle and mass.
Yeah.
And it's a very sobering moment.
Yeah, and Rojo was a quarterback. So.
Yeah. Rojo was like, yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, Rojo. We forget that he was a quarterback when he first came here. Tom Herman recruited him as a quarterback. I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. It's a different universe somewhere where Rojo transfers because he wanted to be a QB. He's like, nah, man, I want to believe in myself as a quarterback instead of being, nah, I'll do whatever the team needs. And that unselfishness, I think, led him to the league because I don't know if he's an NFL player as a quarterback.
I don't know.
We will never know. But, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to doubt Rojo, though.
No.
But I digress. Getting back to it. Let's get to the defense here. Oh, you know what? Staying on offense. Arch Manning. 87 overall score for Arch Manning, it was revealed. 87. I said yesterday, don't make his rating within 4 ratings points of Quinn Ewers, because if they did, it was going to be hell to pay. It was going to be hell to pay because everybody was just going to, you know, not everybody, but a lot of Longhorn fans were just going to sub in Arch and just roll with the season that way with Quinn on the bench. And, you know, Quinn probably transferred to go to some other school. That's going to happen, by the way. Or vice versa, the other way around. They're going to be, you know, Arch in the transfer portal. And some school's going to be happy about that because they'll be wearing some strange jersey. They'll be at Michigan or something like that, or representing Florida State or something like that. So get ready for it. But 87 and what is it, Quinn, 92?
92.
5 ratings points. That's a big difference. I don't think they've made Quinn Ewers significantly better.
Yeah,
that's good.
They wanted to make Arch really good. I get it. You know, I get why you wanted to make him really good. I am curious. So this is what I'm curious now. I wonder what Malik Murphy's going to be over at Duke.
Oh, that's good.
I'm curious him at. Is he like 87 around Arch, or did they put him a little bit lower? I don't know where you put, but that's.
Oh, that's good. I would like to know that too, because Arch is definitely the highest rated backup in the country. There's no way there's a cut. I'm talking based on a video game.
Yeah.
There's no way there's a backup that's an 87.
I can't imagine there's too many guys who have played as many snaps as Arch and have that record and have that score.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that was negotiated too with the 50-60,000. It's like, hey, if I'm going to be in this damn game, I will have to be at least this. I'm at least an 85. You know what I mean? Like,
come on now.
Don't be making me a 81 or something like that. So
if I see a 7 to start in, keep your money.
we're done. So that might have been negotiated too. I don't know. I can't wait till the other ratings come out because I want to see how many starters have at least an 87 rating.
I believe the starting gameplay, like if you get the pre-release or whatever, I think it's the 16th is when it comes out.
Oh yeah, okay.
So next week we will know. Like, people will start posting everything.
It'll be right. Is that right before SEC Media Days or right?
I think it's during before, it. Right?
Is it during SEC Media Days? I think you're right. Something like that. Yeah, you're right. I think it is from like the 15th through the 18th or something.
Yeah, because Monday is the 15th.
Yeah, I think you're right. So yeah, it'll be that'll be great. That'll be awesome.
So we'll see. We'll get those to come out. And hey, Texters, you're gonna have to let us know some of these too, because me and Rod don't have the proper gaming systems.
I don't. I got friends that are into it, and they can't wait. So I'll get all the information, because I got some friends that are like, man, I can't wait for it to come out.
I don't have the time. I don't have the time. I don't have the money to buy a new gaming system either, because I don't have the updated one. I don't play enough games.
I don't.
So it's not an investment that I ever make, because I don't play enough games. So I have an old system that I use, but when I do, and I have, you know, when I have an hour free,
I was gonna say I don't have. Yeah, I just don't have. Trust me, when I was a kid, I don't have that free time.
No, you had the kid.
Even the 5-minute quarters, I guess those are the quick games, but it still can take a little while. And then I'm not saying I'm gonna lose, but I don't like to lose and get off the stick. And you really can't win and get off the stick. It's almost like, right, it's considered, right? Is that considered a violation of the G code to just, you know, play one game and get off the stick? Because usually the person that loses, they want that rematch.
But I don't play anything online anymore, because it is thoroughly passed me by. So I don't play anything online, because I don't need to get called names by an 8-year-old who's better than me at Madden or.
Yeah, I can't deal with the humiliation of that kind of stuff.
No.
And that kind of trash talk. No, I'm with you. I can't do that. No, so I want to play people that I know and I know personally. I don't want to play with strangers.
No, like, I just said.
I agree.
I just sit and play. And the worst part, I'll tell you this, you play Madden with friends, everybody's having fun until all of a sudden Patrick scores 2 touchdowns, and now the party's over because I'm not supposed to win.
No, I haven't played. Every now and then I'll go hang out with my wife's like little cousins.
Yeah.
And we will play the Madden. We'll play Madden.
Yeah.
A little bit. That's like once every 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
That
would
happen. And that's as much as I've been on the game in the last.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
20 years. Probably about 20, close to 20 years now. So I really, the controller is what I most, I got the knowledge. I know what the play is, the intentions are. I can break down the coverages and what they're trying to achieve and when to call certain plays. I got that down pat. What I'm worried about is the execution on the controller.
Oh, no.
That takes you a little while.
No,
there's a lot of new stuff on the controllers.
No,
man.
There is.
And it ain't as basic as it used to be when we were on there.
No, when someone hits a spin move on me, I'm like, I don't even know how to do the spin move.
I don't know how to jump. I don't know how to do anything.
No.
It'll take you a few games just to figure out the controller.
I know how to sprint. That's it. It's the one button I knew.
Give me the sprint button, and I got directions. That's it. Yeah, that's it. You're right. This will be spinning. It'll be like jump cutting on you and all that kind of stuff. Like, I have no idea how to do any of that stuff. People like one-handed catches. They don't know how to do all that. I have no idea how to do any of that. That's all like new innovations.
No, I can't do every once stuff. In a while, lateral the ball to the wrong, just the wrong direction away from somebody. Like, I don't know what to do.
I stay away from that stuff. Yeah. And then I'll get confused because you have more receivers now too, because more of the different controls allow you to throw different receivers. Back in our day, man, they had like what, X, Y, and Z. That was it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like this Y, and Z. Then you had like, I think like the top controller you could throw to the running back in the flat. Like it has changed now. And I played the Madden, I'm like, man, I'm blown away. I'm still playing like very simple and they're playing on a different level. I'm still like, man, I'm just throwing the 3 receivers. They don't know. I'm looking at just 2 receivers. This is a 2-receiver route for me. It's a lot of the receivers out there for me. It's a 2-receiver route.
Because
I can't go through the progressions well enough. You know what
no,
I, mean?
I played back in the day when you could overload a side on a defensive blitz, and you just overload it, and the defense wouldn't adjust to it. The first time I played Madden and they adjusted to it, I was like, oh, no, wait a minute. The game figured it out.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. Calling audibles? Oh, man. Then you got to get your audible system down because some people got audible packages and stuff. Oh, man. Like I said, anyway, but it can be different. Trust me. But I'm going to play it. I got to play it. I got to get my hands on it at least once. I'll probably get humiliated, but that's the way it goes. By the way, there's a game day showcase where different college football players and I think some like social media celebrities, I'm sure they're really famous. I just don't know the people. They're going to be playing the video game with them. Quinn Ewers, actually, this is actually going to be the 13th and the 14th, so tomorrow and Sunday. It'll be Quinn Ewers, and I believe Quinn Ewers is going to face Sketch.
Yes. Sketch, Texans fan. Actually announced one of the Texans draft picks this year at the draft.
Okay, so you know Sketch, then.
I know him because he announced one of the Texans draft picks, and I was watching it with a friend, and I said, who is Sketch? And then he told me who Sketch was.
You're so old.
So that's how I know Sketch is.
Honestly, you're cooler than me because I had to. I was like, who is – and I didn't want to Google it. I was like, I'm not Googling it.
No, he's a streamer. But, no, that was literally why I know it is he announced a Texans pick this year.
There you go.
So that is why I knew it.
And what's his affiliation with the Texans?
So that was like the fan thing where they were having like somewhat celebrity fans the picks. So he was a somewhat celebrity fan to come out and introduce the pick.
I gotcha.
So that was him.
Okay.
No, and I know the comedians that are doing it, Shane Gillis and Dan Soder, are both really funny guys.
He's going to Shane Gillis is going to be he's going to represent Notre Dame and go up against LeBron and Frankie Walker. They're going to represent Ohio State. It actually is kind of – some of the pairings are pretty good. They got Chad Ochocinco representing Oregon State. He's going to play Dan Soder, who's representing Arizona. Sketch and Quinn Ewers are going to face off. You'll have Tim Tebow and Shedeur Sanders, which that's actually – that might be pretty good. That is pretty good because Shedeur talks a lot of trash. And I don't – Tebow talk a lot of trash?
Is this a Tim Tebow Super Bowl?
I just wonder, oh, by the way, how about this? Colorado's on here twice. They got Travis Hunter playing it too. I mean, he is on the cover.
Yeah.
Against Michael Vick, representing Virginia Tech. Just so you know, I mean, Colorado won 4 games last year. You don't think they want people want to see Colorado and want to play with Colorado? They have Big Cat is going to be playing with Wisconsin versus Donovan Edwards representing Michigan. That's one of the other pairings there. So I think EA, you can go find out where you can watch those, I believe, online, or stream them, I should say, at the EA Sports website. All right. Defense. Let's get the defense really quickly. Trey Moore and Andrew Mukuba, they answer the question that we've been pondering for the last couple of weeks. Who's going to be the highest-rated defensive player for Texas? Well, they are tied. Andrew Mukuba and Trey Moore, they're two acquisitions you brought in via the transfer portal, or two of the acquisitions you brought in via the transfer portal. They are your two highest-rated defensive players, Trey Moore and Andrew Mukuba. What are your thoughts, Patrick, about that? I mean, Trey Moore, I mean, they're basically assuming he's going to what he did, the impact plays he made at UTSA are going to translate into the SEC.
Yeah.
That's basically what that says to me. And same thing with Mukuba. Mukuba was doing it at the highest levels at Clemson.
Yeah, no, I think that Trey Moore is not surprising. I think we talked about this. We did a poll about it, and I think Trey Moore was up there as somebody who could have been it. It does not surprise me with Andrew Mukuba either. I knew that I really thought they were going to rank him pretty high coming from Clemson and what he's done so far in his career. I thought they'd rank him pretty high. But yeah, Trey Moore, you brought up the interesting point earlier. And we don't even know if he's technically a starter.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to do that because Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell are the starters. They've been long-time starters. And then, I mean, this guy, if he's your best player on defense, you need him there. Maybe you got a different group that starts the game and a different group that finishes the game, and he's part of the group that finishes the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think it's going to be by who's playing well on that day, by who's getting penetration. I think they're going to have guys that, you know, you may see them in stretches of one guy's a pass rusher and one guy's a more run defender. You could see that they put in two pass rushers together and two run defenders together and try and sort them out. But you've got those three, and then you throw in Colton Vosick and now Colin Simmons coming in that are probably going to get some playing time as well. It's one of those good problems to have. To have so much depth at a position. But yeah, it's an interesting point that, yeah, who do you put on the bench between, you know, Trey Moore and Baron Sorrell and Ethan Burke? Do you put one of your longtime starters on the bench? And if you do, how many plays before you pull them off?
Edge and wide receiver, I think, are going to have the same intrigue about how do you divide up the reps at those positions. I mean, we just talked about edge. Wide receiver is going to be the same thing to me. I'm really going to be wondering, like, how are you going to divide that
but
up?
Like,
I mean,
Golden
Bun.
If you have Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell out there, right, and then you get to third down, first series of the game, you get to third down. You're not putting Trey Moore in third and long?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think third, but is he just situational? And
But it's like, is that how quick the rotation is, or is it? I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Yeah, but they rotated a ton last year. That's the one with Mukuba too. They rotated safeties a ton last year. So
too much for me.
Too much for me as well. But they rotated them a ton. So it'll be. And now Sark's talked about it with the extended season and hopefully making to the playoff. And every that he's talking about rotate, he's still big on the rotation. That'll be a piece I'm sure we'll be talking about plenty next season.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And like I said, it is a first world problem. So Trey Moore, Andrew Mukuba, and even at safety, I think Mukuba and Derek Williams are your two best safeties are going to start. But Taff, I believe, started the spring game, and I might start to begin the season. But I think Mukuba and Derek Williams are your two best starters there. So at least you got guys you consider to be starters, multiple players you consider to be starters who you can get into those rotations at those positions. Also on defense, you have Malik Muhammad. He is an 87 overall, the cornerback. And Anthony Hill is an 86 overall, the linebacker. He actually put out via Twitter a statement expressing his disappointment in his rating. Everybody thinks their rating is a little bit too low. That you should, as a player, if you're in the 99, you should think your rating's too low.
Yes,
that's how. Right, that's just the reality of it. The NFL players are the same way with the Madden stuff. All right, we come back. We'll get into Quinn Ewers' eval from Dane Brugler. I'll read you some of that. I will also get into the latest that player comp that Daniel Jeremiah had to Quinn Ewers that's got Longhorn fans a little unsettled. We'll also dive into some of the trends, some of the best and most successful plays in the SEC, and some of those same staples in Sark's offense. We'll do that on the other side as well. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get to some Texas football conversation. I saw this blowing up a little bit on social media. And we talked about Daniel Jeremiah's evaluation, way too early evaluation of Quinn Ewers in that 2025 quarterback class. And he liked Quinn Ewers. We read you some of the tidbits. But I didn't really pay attention to the player comp. I saw it. I didn't agree with it. So didn't think it was going to be something that, you know, we were going to talk about. I wanted to actually get to the evaluation of Quinn Ewers. The player comp is usually kind of the salacious part. But that's the part that everybody latched on to about his evaluation of Quinn Ewers. I'll read it here for you. He said, I couldn't come up with a perfect player comp for Quinn Ewers after studying the three games. The first name that popped into my head was a throwback to my younger days as a scout, Kevin Cobb. Something about Ewers' delivery and play style evoked that old name. However, the more game tape I watched, the more I thought of Baker Mayfield. Both guys have a quick twitch in everything they do, seeing the field, setting up in the pocket, and delivering the ball. There's a moxie and playmaking skill set to build around with both guys. Mayfield has really blossomed into Tampa Bay. After bouncing around the league for the past few years, I don't think Ewers is quite as polished as Mayfield was at the same point in his college career, but I do see similar upside and potential. I don't really see the similarity in Baker Mayfield. Definitely not in personality and disposition, but not even in their release and their mechanics, just the rhythm that they throw the football. I don't see really any of it. I've seen Baker Mayfield kind of grip it and rip it, and I see him do it a lot. There is a kind of effortless, almost lackadaisical feel to Quinn Ewers' throwing motion, which is why a lot of the criticism or critiques, I should say, of Quinn Ewers are that he needs to marry and align his footwork with his mechanics and with his throwing motion, because his arm talent is so tremendous and so extraordinary that even without the proper footwork and without, you know, the refined mechanics, he can still almost touch every blade of grass on a football field. And he's doing it with, some even would say, some lazy footwork and lazy mechanics, and it's all arm talent. And he can still, you know, put touch on the ball, be tremendously accurate at that. And I think the leap for scouts, they're hoping that he takes, and this will put him into the conversation to be 1-1 overall, that if he does start to consistently a line that footwork and his mechanics and the throwing motion and align it all together, and then what would that mean for his arm talent, and what would that mean for his accuracy and his touch, and what's the ceiling for that player? And there probably isn't a limit, because the arm talent is generational. Everybody agrees with that. There's nobody who has disputed his generational arm talent. The dispute is right now, can he or has he ever had to be disciplined with his mechanics as a quarterback? Or has he always just been overly reliant on, oh no, my arm, I can get it done. And even at the NFL level, he's got an arm that'll make the throws, but those mechanical inconsistencies will get him in trouble at the next level. And that's the concern. Okay, so here is it. And so the player comp, it is tough to get one. And I agree with Daniel Jeremiah there. Baker Mayfield ain't it. I like the Jared Goff one that has been thrown out there. I've heard that one several times. Some people said a Matt Stafford comparison to him. Some people have thrown out Brett Favre, actually, even though not necessarily in body type, just in playing style. But in all those comparisons, what's the commonality? Generational arms. Generational arm talent. Favre, Stafford, Jared Goff. And that's what you see in Quinn. It's like, no, they don't make them like that. That is, you know, I mean, to have that type of arm talent, that is next level, and that's elite. That's his X-Man ability. He's got the golden arm. Just because you got the golden arm, don't make it necessarily make you a great quarterback. There's a lot of other traits that you have to refine and cultivate to be a great quarterback overall. But, man, the golden arm, like I said, if you start with Jeff George had the golden arm. Was Jeff George a great quarterback? No. So that's the challenge for Quinn, because the golden arm has gotten him to this point. Now it's time to become disciplined about your mechanics and become devoted to being a pocket scientist and getting into all the subtle nuances of playing and the depth of playing the quarterback position, the intellectual depth of playing the quarterback position. Because physically, there's not really anything he can't do from the pocket. But, you know, handling pressure, that's mental for him. Feeling the pressure instead of seeing the pressure, that's mental. Him getting deeper into his progressions, getting through his progressions faster, that's all mental stuff. Him being devoted to mechanics, marrying, aligning footwork with his throwing motion. I mean, that's just all stuff that he needs to work on day after day and make it, you know, second nature. It needs to become, you know, muscle memory to him where you don't have to actually think about it. And then when that happens, the sky's the limit. So let's read real quick the Dane Brugler eval of Quinn Ewers. So Dane Brugler, and this was from the New York Times, actually. And so usually his stuff is published in The Athletic, but I imagine that right now it's just probably him doing some other stuff. But so he's reviewing all the 2025 quarterback prospects. He's got Quinn third among his quarterback prospects behind Shadur and behind Carson Beck. What he likes, he says, regardless of Ewers' feet, body, balance, or arm angles, the ball consistently jumps off his hand with effortless zip and control, which allows him to make all the necessary throws. He has a snappy release and can just as easily rip a frozen rope with velocity to the wide side of the field or loft a teardrop over the coverage. There are plenty of examples of Ewers' arm strength on film. He said, also, must improve on. He said, technical refinement, though he has an impressive arm, Ewers' mechanical inconsistencies will lead to sprays and misfires. At times, sloppy routes by receivers are the culprit as they force choppy footwork and use his drop, but other times the quarterback relies too much on his arm talent and not enough on a sound base or rhythmic delivery. Continued technical refinement should lead to fewer missed throws this upcoming season. And he did say, with his arm talent and experience, Ewers has first-round buzz among scouts, although his development in 2024 will ultimately determine where he is drafted. Aggies, Connor Wigman, actually fourth on this list, right behind Quinn Ewers. Remember, Matt Miller had him in his way too early first round mock draft going to the Rams, I think. So Connor Wigman, people are really high on him too. But Quinn Ewers, it's as much of the same. This is very similar to what Daniel Jeremiah said. Hell, we could even bring up the Daniel Jeremiah one. It's very similar. When you look at it, here's what Daniel Jeremiah said he didn't like, where he needs to improve. I love how quickly Ewers sees the field, but there are times where his feet can be late to marry his eyes, which impacts his accuracy. For example, he'll start a read to the right, quickly get his eyes back to the middle of the field, and deliver the ball before aligning his feet in that direction. He overcomes it occasionally, which is incredible, but it should be an area of focus as he embarks on the 2024 season. He also has a bad habit of unnecessarily fading away and falling off some throws. Fortunately, he possesses the arm strength to get away with it at Texas, but that will be a risky proposition at the next level, where the speed drastically increases. They're basically saying the same thing. Marry the footwork and the mechanics with the arm talent and the throwing motion and the rhythm as a passer too. There's kind of a natural rhythm that quarterbacks have in the pocket with their delivery, and he doesn't really have to have that, so the footwork matches up with delivery. I mean, your body, it works like that. I mean, you ever see some people try to run who don't use their arms properly? You ever see this? And it's the freakiest thing. It's like, no, anybody ever teach you how to run? Your arms have to move with the, you know what I mean, with the opposite leg. You know how that?
Yeah.
And some people just they've never learned how to run, and they're just inefficient runners. Your body, there's certain mechanics to the way your body works, and that rhythm as a passer will help you get the ball out on time with your footwork aligned with the mechanics and everything.
No, it's like Raquel Welch.
Yes, exactly. Like, use your arms. Exactly. Why are you making running harder than it needs to be? Use your arms. What are you doing? And some people, they just say, never learn. That's why everybody should at least run tracks or at least learn how to run. But, yeah, the same thing with – so I think for Quinn, if he learns to be more consistent in those areas, I think he could leapfrog at least one of those quarterbacks. He could leapfrog both of them if on the biggest stages you get – Quinn Ewers, the best version of him, winning big games in clutch moments, fourth quarter comebacks, stuff like that. All right, once you get to the SEC stuff, and we still might have time coming up later on in the show to dive into it, but I want to get to the break here because there's a couple of off-the-record stories that I want to hit. Speaking of a Seinfeld reference, I've heard this reference a couple of times on social media now because Bill Belichick is still dating this much younger woman, and they're dating. Like, it's not some tabloid story they made up. No, Bill Belichick is dating this 20-something-year-old little hot thing, and it's they're calling it the summer of Belichick because he's great because he's being spotted doing all this stuff that's got nothing to do with football. And you know, Belichick's probably been all football his entire life, basically.
Yeah.
And been really regimented because, you know, I think he's got some military stuff like in his background. So he's been a really regimented guy and really devoted to football. And apparently the world of the street is this young lady wants nothing to do with football. It's like, no, I don't know. You're going to come with me and hang out with me and do really cool stuff, like go to Taylor Swift concerts. And they're calling it the summer of Belichick. So we'll come back and we'll discuss the summer of Belichick and if Belichick will ever come back to football after this. I mean, Belichick may decide, you know what? Dude, this is way better than football. What the hell I've been doing? I could have been young doing this kind of stuff. Now I'm old doing it. We'll discuss the summer of Belichick and some other stories from around the sports world and beyond when we come back for Off the Record. All that and more right here on the broadcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Rivers coming back on the horn.
D.D. Megadoodoo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my income.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get into a little off the record here. Let's talk about the summer of Belichick. So Belichick, who's 72 years old, is dating Jordan Hudson. It's his girlfriend, 24 years old. Every man out there, y'all know y'all want to give this man a slow clap. Come on now. It's creepy. Yeah, it's creepy, but you just admire it because just have the energy to keep up with a 24-year-old at 72. I don't know if I can keep up with a 24-year-old now, 43. All right. My wife's 10 years younger than me. She kind of wears me out a little bit. So that's a big gap to keep up with. All right. So they're dating. It's official. So you're talking about damn near a 50-year age gap. And according to reports, and this comes from Hollywood. This comes from Daily Mail. So I got this from Daily Mail. It says Belichick is without a full-time NFL coaching job for the first time since he was fired by the newly transitioning Ravens staff in 1996. So the first time this dude is without a coaching job since 1996, more than 5 years before his girlfriend Jordan Hudson was even born. Now that he is away from the sidelines, one insider claims that Belichick is living his best life despite dating someone who is nearly 50 years younger than he is. He says, the source says, I don't know if he is looking to go back to coaching again. I may be wrong, but I think he is realizing that there is more in life than just football. And basically, they're keeping up with Belichick via all these posts on social media and all these stories. So there's one story that had Belichick took in a Taylor Swift tour concert in Travis Kelce's Amsterdam box. So it turns out he's going to Taylor Swift concerts with this young lady. That's already next level because that's commitment right there. He also, oh, by the way, he's doing Inside the NFL now. Did you hear that?
Oh, he's going to go over there? And not hear that.
I believe he, yes. That story was reported. I'll pull it up here in a second. It was reported. He visited Croatia where he met the prime minister and the president and received a Croatian certificate of nationality and attended the Croatian soccer match. He's like, what? Belichick? He's getting like honored by a different country. And it's being reported that, you know, Belichick has been seen out brunching with this young lady, like just doing stuff that young folks do. And he's 72 enjoying his best life. I love it, man. I love this, the summer of Belichick story. This is great.
This is why we should never invented Viagra or anything like this. The reason that it was supposed to stop working. So this creepy stuff didn't happen. Good Lord.
It was supposed to stop working.
It's just ridiculous.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. So you said this is unnatural is what you're saying. This is unnatural?
Yes. This is defying the face of God. Bill Belichick.
Oh, man. But hey, you got to be happy for him because there's no way
Belichick was talking about how the building was constructed while he's at a Taylor Swift concert. You know he's saying some weird dad stuff while he's there.
Oh, you know it's nothing but dad stuff happening. And everybody's like, oh, God.
Well, actually, God, this building was constructed in 1953, and they were building it. What they actually did was they had the concrete. It's like, no one cares, Bill.
Yeah, because he is a historian. He's like a military historian. Yeah, he is like a military historian. So he will be like, this was a bomb shelter, actually, originally, on this very site. Yeah, it's just like dad stuff.
I can't.
I'm happy for him, man. I'm happy for him.
I can't imagine that in 32 years, I'll be more tolerant of young people than I am now. And I'm not very tolerant now.
Oh, man. You know, she's got him taking, like, selfies and a lot of photos and stuff, like, you know, doing stuff like that. They got pictures of her taking pictures of him, like, on the beach. Like Belichick taking pictures on the beach, just fly. They have pictures of her, like the pirate. They follow pictures of her taking pictures of Belichick on the beach. They taking pictures of each other. The day I see Belichick taking a picture of her on the beach for the gram, then like I said, you know it's already happening.
Did this guy not know that sex was a thing?
Yeah, but not old. It was old people sex. It was
no,
like,
but he still was new, like at some point was young.
This is new stuff. No, man, he's saying that this is some new stuff they into. Trust me, back in his day when he was in his prime, they weren't into the stuff they in today. So
he can't do
stuff.
The stuff he could do.
He can't, but she can. So he just, you know, make sure he doesn't hurt his back or something like that, and then she can do all the new age, you know, Cirque du Soleil stuff.
And it's just a little weird. Just a little weird.
Oh no, it's not a little weird. It's very weird. But it is. I'm here for it. I'm keeping up with it. The summer of Belichick. Will he go back to football? I don't know if he will with this young lady. I don't know if he go back with football. I don't know if he goes back to football.
I'm not hiring him.
Her.
He makes bad decisions.
Then you know. Well, he's distracted. You know that.
He makes bad decisions. I'm not hiring this guy. I'm not hiring someone who, when he's drafting, goes, oh, yeah, no, actually, my girlfriend went to college with this quarterback. Let's draft him. I don't trust that. It's Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Like, you're gonna, the owners will have, like, daughters and stuff that'll be older than she is, probably. Like,
they'll have granddaughters older than this girl is.
Oh, man. Oh, hey, man. I ain't hating on her. Good for you, Belichick. This is a weird story, too. Oh, my God. This is Rolling Stone. This is a Rolling Stone article. They had an article about the Hawk Tua girl. And this is how, the way they described her. I'm not joking. She went viral for a sex joke, but Haley Welch is much more. A charming Gen Z Dolly Parton who's rightfully becoming America's sweetheart. What? It's just like, what are we? What are we talking about? Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton is a talented, like, all-time great, you know, entertainer. Why are you gonna call this? Why are you making a Dolly Parton comparison
because
of all things?
This is every. You ever go to a party and everybody thinks they can get with a girl, and there's that one girl that everyone's doing. That's her right now. Everyone is shooting her. Their shot with her, and so everyone's putting out these articles and saying, you know, she's just a really nice girl. And, like, you know, if she just found the right guy to settle down with, I'm sure thing everyone is shooting their shot right now. And you just watch guys acting like idiots. So you're like, I bet I can do an interview with her and things will happen. And then.
Well, I mean, good for her. But, like, the description is kind of like, okay, let's calm it down.
Dolly Parton's
like an American, like, treasure.
She's like an
icon.
She popped up in my feed. And then I said, let me see what the comments are to see how hateful they are. I did not see one positive comment.
About Hawk to a girl?
On her own post. It was
the 30
I scrolled through were all just very negative. You're like,
oh, yeah. Anytime you're taking the formula, remember, the shame to fame and fame to fortune, think about Kardashian. Is she more hated or is she more loved?
But she makes money.
Easily. Exactly.
She makes money.
Even the catch me outside, how about that chick? Nobody likes her. Money. Because what we realize is that, and Jerry Jones kind of knows this too, that you can spin that hatred. You can spin it. Because people will hate watch you. Bill O'Reilly used to talk about this all the time. There are people that don't like me. And honestly, they don't like you, but they will listen and watch you just to disagree with you. And he would say, like, that's like half my audience. That's like half. Rush Limbaugh was like that.
He was like
a third of his audience were people who didn't listen to him that hated him. It was like, you heard what Rush Limbaugh said. How do you know what he said? How do you know what he said if you listen to him and you hate him so much?
You know,
they hate listening. They like being riled up and angry, which we also realize people like being angry.
They do. You know, you can not be angry. You can be happy. You can just be positive. You can watch things you enjoy. You can do things you like. And you can date someone in your age range, and it's all okay. It's okay to do those things. You don't have to try and make a difference by yelling and screaming and dating girls a third of your age.
There you go. When Belichick starts dating the Hawk Tua girl, then we will have reached Idiocracy. Then when the movie is truly happening.
No, I think she's too old for him.
You're right. I think she is, actually.
No, I think
she's like late 20s going in early 30s. No. So I'm a little too old. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some of the other top stories. I want to talk about the head coach rankings that are released by CBS Sports and where Sark stands in those SEC head coach rankings. We'll also dive into who the sleeper on this Texas football team is. That came out as well. We'll dive into some NFL discussion. I was going down a rabbit hole that led me into another rabbit hole that led me into another rabbit hole. And all started with me looking up who the next Longhorn is who is likely to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So I'll discuss that with you. We'll talk about that coming up. Also, a Rangers report in the 9 o'clock. Don't want to forget the Rangers report. All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.